You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll take a look at some of the biggest stories from around the state this week in our Wisconsin News Roundup.
First, Swedish meatballs, spaghetti and meatballs, vegan lentil meatballs, curry meatballs. Take some protein, mold it into a sphere, you got yourself a meatball. We tasked Food Friday regular Lori Skelton with trying a lot of different kinds of meatball recipes. She joins us now to share what she learned.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite kind of meatball? What meatballs did you grow up eating? And what's your favorite recipe or favorite way to serve them? What flavors do you like to combine in that meatball? You can call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is in studio now. She's one of our in-house food lovers, food makers here at WPR, regular guest here on Food Friday. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Give us Meatball History 101. Where do these guys come from?
You can find meatballs mentioned in Chinese literature as far back as 221 BC. You can find meatballs mentioned in Roman cookbooks in the 4th century. I think every culture out there has some sort of meatball. And the lovely thing about meatballs is, for the most part, they're something that's rather thrifty. You're taking some meat, usually it's animal protein, and you're extending it with bread or a grain of some sort, an egg. So it's a way to stretch, a pound of meat to feed a few more people. But I also think it is absolutely impossible not to be happy when eating a meatball.
Is that what you found based on your extensive research?
There's just something about having round, lovely, delicious things on your plate. You can't be solemn when you're eating food in a ball form.
Right. You even coined a phrase. I don't know if it's going to take off or not. We were talking about all the different things that can go into these, and you coined the phrase protein spheroid.
Because it can be animal protein. It can be vegetable protein. Your basic, I'd say a good ratio to start with, is a pound of ground protein and then, say, half a cup of dried breadcrumbs. And if you can eat eggs, add an egg to bind it or use an egg substitute. You start from there, and you are limitless in the herbs or spices you can put in, the blends of protein that you use. I was able to make a few recipes, and the more I researched, the more I realized I could go the rest of my life eating a different meatball each week and still not come to the end of it.
I would stand in line to buy the Protein Spheroid Cookbook, if that's the actual title. I love it. Let's jump into some of the meatball varieties that you made and see what sets them apart. Let's talk about some of the traditionals. Let's go with your basic Italian meatball. Now, we think spaghetti meatballs. This is not really, I guess, and I know this from you, an Italian thing.
It's Italian-American. Mm-hmm. The Italians do eat meatballs, and they usually eat them as a separate dish after the pasta. It is certainly possible to have meatballs with pasta, but that's not the way most Italians will eat them. Italians do have very small meatballs in their Italian wedding soups. And in certain areas of Italy, they like smaller meatballs, say the size of a marble. And those will show up a lot in soups. Meatballs about 2 inches big, you'll eat those on their own with maybe a little bit of pesto or something on top. Spaghetti and meatballs, it is delicious, but that's our invention, not the Italians.
I'm good with it.
What about the part where you, so often it seems like, have to mix with your hands? Yeah. You really have to get in there and be committed. This is not something where you look very dainty as you're cooking.
Which is one of the reasons why meatballs are one of the best things to make with kids. You want to get your kids in the kitchen, throw all of the ingredients in a bowl, and tell them to mush it up. What I've discovered from a lot of professional chefs is that by mixing meatball mixtures with your hands, you don't overwork it. You want there to be a little bit of air, for the most part, in a meatball. And by using your hands, you get a better sense of when everything is combined well, but you also haven't overworked the meat.
So I think I've gone wrong. I do mix them by hand, but sometimes they end up with really either sticky, it's hard to roll, and they just stick to my fingers. Does that mean I've overworked them probably?
Actually, what it means is you needed to have your hands moist before you started mixing, especially before you start rolling a meatball. Put a little water or maybe even a little bit of oil on your hands, and that should help keep some of the mess down. Either that or get your kids involved. They don't mind getting messy.
They look when I'm mixing meatballs, they're like, gross, just at the raw meat. So I think the window has closed on that, probably.
I guess for me, growing up, when my mother usually made spaghetti with a meat sauce. We didn't make a lot of meatballs in my house. The few times we did, though, that was, yes, gross, but it was the good gross to stick your hands in that.
So we've been talking the Italian meatball. Let's talk now about the Swedish meatball. What is it that makes a Swedish meatball a Swedish meatball?
This is a blend of usually pork and beef, so it's not one particular protein. And traditionally, it would be served with lingonberry jam and maybe even some pickled cucumbers. That's how they would do it in Sweden. Of course, in America, Swedish meatballs were very, very popular in the 70s to be served in a cream sauce or a thicker gravy and speared with a toothpick to be eaten at cocktail parties. And that's certainly how I know Swedish meatballs, because that's the type of meatball that my aunt Kathy makes, and that's still the benchmark for me. It's not the fanciest recipe in the world, but I do love it. I didn't want to tinker with this one at all.
We've got that recipe up on the Central Time Facebook page. We're cooking meatballs today. We've got Lori Skelton with us on this edition of Food Friday. You can join in with your favorite recipes, your favorite kind of meatballs, with meat or vegetarian. You can call in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Keegan on the line in Waupaca. Keegan, hi.
Hello. When my sister and I became vegetarians while we were in high school, both of us kind of missed having meatballs with the family. And my father actually set out on his own and created this meatless nutball, is what he refers to it as. And all that it is a bunch of nut flours or ground nuts formed into a meatball using a binder.
And what did he use as a binder?
In the past, he has used everything from banana to energy egg replacer.
Okay.
And he has put eggs in it because both myself and my sister are fine with eating eggs.
Okay.
Well,
go Dad. And these are good?
Oh, they are great.
I can totally back Keegan up on that. Yeah.
Fooled people in the past.
Really? Well, Keegan, thank you so much. That sounds great. And Lori, you tried a not nut flour, but you tried a different vegetarian. I think a vegan incarnation,
yes,
right? With lentils, was it?
Absolutely.
And they were good.
Absolutely. I brought in a lentil meatball. It was a combination of what they call caviar lentils, those little black lentils, and quinoa. And here you would cook your lentils until they were almost soft, and then cook your quinoa until it was soft, mix it all up, and then take out about a third of that mixture and throw it in the food processor, and I'm quoting now, until it has the texture of wet sand. So this would help bind your meatball. You actually took out some of the ground protein or the textured protein and put it in the food processor to make it more of a paste. And this was served with a coconut fenugreek sauce. When I brought this to Wisconsin Public Radio co-workers to try, nobody said it was a bad meatball. And I don't know if I fooled anybody into thinking, oh, gee, it's just as good as meat. But I do know that the sauce was what made it. So if you are going to try vegetarian meatballs out on friends, be sure you've got a good accompaniment to go with it.
So going along with what Keegan said, there are some really nice nut loaves that can be shaped into balls and baked, and they get really delicious. I worked at a restaurant that served that once, and I've also seen eggplant used to make meatballs.
Beans and legumes can be either chunky or, again, processed into a paste. Their sticky texture is a really great way to bind them up. But vegetables, eggplant, potatoes are a good binder to start with a vegetarian meatball. Beets, squash, mushrooms, those are all good starters. If you are going to go the ground nut and seed route, as I'm sure Keegan noticed, you do need more of a binder. Has anyone out there ever tried blooming chia seeds? Those get kind of like a jelly like. And I'm told that's a really great way to bind a vegan meatball.
That trick you mentioned, Lori, with the lentil one of, and lentil and quinoa, of taking a portion of it and food processing it or blending it, that's also a trick you recommend for some meat, real meat meatballs.
If you are looking for a meatball that has a denser texture, I did experiment with, we've already talked about, you want to mix this with your hands so that this doesn't get too dense. You don't want the entire meatball to be this heavy paste. But if you are looking for something that has a little bit firmer texture, maybe you do want to skewer it with a toothpick, you might try taking out a third of your ground protein mixture, blitzing it in the food processor for about 15, 20 seconds, then mixing it all together to change the texture.
You know, I've tried baked meatball recipes a couple times, and they've kind of smooshed down in the pan. Maybe they weren't dense enough, so maybe this trick would help keep them in spheroid form in the oven.
And was this baked meatball recipe, you were only supposed to bake it? You weren't supposed to do anything else to it?
There's no pre-sear. Oh, I guess if I'd seared them first and then baked them, maybe that would have worked.
Which is one of the things that I think makes a meatball distinctive and certainly different from meatloaf. Proportion-wise, a meatball will have more surface area that's been exposed to heat, whether it's baked in the oven, whether it's seared. So right there, you've got that lovely caramelized, cooked texture on the outside to contrast with the cooked but not so rough texture in the middle. I'm not saying you can't bake a meatball, but yeah, if texture is an issue, you may want to experiment with just how dense your meat mixture is. Another good way to keep your meatballs from falling apart is before you roll them up, chill the meat mixture. Mix it up, then throw it in the refrigerator for 30 minutes. And then take it out, form it into meatballs, and bake it or cook or steam or broil or whatever you want to do.
We're talking to Food Friday regular right now. Lori Skelton's with us talking about meatballs, and we want to hear from you.
What is your favorite take on the classic, the meatball? How do you like to serve them? What's your favorite kind of vegetarian meatball? What kind of sauce do you serve with them? Is there a kind of cuisine from around the world that works really well with this? Do you have a question? Have you failed in your efforts? Maybe Lori can help you out. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page and pick up a recipe while you're there. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our discussion about meatballs with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you grow up eating a particular kind of meatballs? Tell us about them. What's your favorite way to make or serve them? Do you think of them as an entree or maybe that appetizer with the toothpicks in them? Do you have questions about cooking? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to a caller now. We've got Myra on the line in Rochester, Minnesota. Myra, hi.
Hi. I grew up eating a meatball. My mom called it Target meatball. And it was a hard-boiled egg with the meatball around it. And you baked it. And then you just put ketchup over it. But I'm wondering, is there anything else you could put in there besides a hard-boiled egg?
Oh, interesting.
I've got a question. What ethnic background is your mom?
German.
She's German.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because that sounds to me like a Scotch egg,
yeah,
which would be fried, and not baked. I know in Pakistan and India, that's a popular way to make a meatball and serve it. I suppose you could get creative by putting something inside a meatball. To me, that's not really a meatball. To me, a meatball is all of a piece. If you want layers or you want striations, that to me is where meatloaf can get creative.
That's where you draw the line.
But I do know that there are ways to put a piece of hard cheese in the middle of the meat, and if you're, especially if you're going to deep fry it, that's a good way to cook it, because for something like hard cheese or maybe a mixture of tofu in the middle of your other coating, shall we say, you want to be sure that's cooked all the way through. So you would, I don't know if baking would get everything cooked properly. I think that's why you need to deep fry. That'd definitely be something to check, but I guess I don't consider that a meatball.
Lori, did you deep fry any?
I didn't deep fry any. I did fry, but not immersed in inches and inches of boiling oil. I did fry. I simmered in sauces, and I baked when I was making meatballs this time around. And I like starting off, even if they're going to be baked, I do like starting off with just a little bit of browning, a little bit of a sear on top of the
I think
stove.
I'll try that next time I try a baked recipe. We're talking about cooking meatballs, vegetarian and with meat. Lori Skelton is with us on this edition of Food Friday. Still time for you to join in with your favorite recipes or questions about cooking meatballs at 800-642-1234. Lori, you mentioned earlier the recipe we have up on the Central Time Facebook page, Aunt Kathy's Meatballs. Give us a little more detail. Why are these such special dishes?
Well, these are the meatballs that my Aunt Kathy brings to potlucks.
Hence the name.
And for me, that means I get to eat them at Christmas time. So this is always something festive for me, even though it's not a terribly complicated dish. When she sent me the recipe, it turns out that this comes from a very old edition of the Feasting with the Fourth Estate, where various reporters and people from newspapers around the state would put together cookbooks that were sold to raise money. When I called the Manitowoc newspaper, the Gail Davey, who originally submitted the recipe, nobody there at the moment remembers her. So if any of Gail Davey's family is out there and wants to call in, I want to say thank you, because I have been loving those meatballs for decades. And it's very, very simple. It's beef and pork and parsley, salt and pepper, onion. And you make all your little meatballs about an inch big. You put them in a oven-proof dish. And then you take a can of cream of mushroom soup and mix it with some water. Pour that over the meatballs and bake for half an hour. And it's amazing.
Sounds great. Well, you know what? We've got another caller on the line. Now let's talk to Ralph in Sister Bay. Ralph, hi.
Are you there?
Yep. You're on the air.
Hey. This is Ralph Johnson, Al Johnson Swedish Restaurant up in Sister Bay.
Excellent. Hello.
And,
Swedish
meatballs.
Okay, from the simple ones we make at home, what do you do to yours? Or aren't you allowed to say?
Well, no, I can say my grandmother brought the recipe over from Sweden, but funny enough, we use 100% ground beef. We don't mix pork, but my other grandmother, who stayed in Sweden, she, when I would go visit her, she used a blend of pork and ground beef.
Yep.
You had mentioned earlier about browning the meatballs. For years, since 1949, we would brown them in peanut oil and submerge a whole batch at a time, and only for about a minute and a half, just to get that outside crust.
Right.
And then we would finish them off in a pot of gravy for about 3 hours in the oven. And then they get that, they still keep that crispiness on the outside, but it's nice, moist, and chewy on the inside.
And Ralph, I want to ask, Lori mentioned serving Swedish meatballs with something involving lingonberries. Does that happen?
Lingonberries. It's the only way to have them. Only way to have them. And, you know, you had a guy on there earlier talked about the vegetarian meatballs. And IKEA actually has a vegetarian meatball now. And I don't really care for it that much. But the sauce that they serve that you can buy at IKEA is a vegetarian cream sauce, if you don't mind having cream in a vegetarian diet, and it's an excellent, easy-to-make sauce. But the Swedish meatballs that we have, we would use a thick brown gravy. And I've been working there since I was a small child. And every once in a while, we used to have a hard time getting the meat to stick together, depending on the humidity. And I called up Nuskies one time to find out if there was a trick. And we had done this for years. We'd fight by adding more egg. We'd fight by adding more bread. And what the trick was to first mix your salt and your beef stock with the beef before you do anything else. And then you add your final ingredients, and it's stayed together ever since.
Wow. See, when you said you called Nuskies, I thought you were going to say you added bacon to it.
I did, too. I thought that's where I was going.
Because that is something I've tried. If you put a couple of slices of bacon in the freezer and then chop that very fine, you're adding a little bit of extra fat, and that will make the texture a little bit moister and certainly a little bit richer. So, wow, it's great to hear from you.
One more thank you, Rolf. One more quick call from Elise in Trempealeau County, other side of the state. Elise, hi.
Hi. The historic Trempealeau Hotel, which is right in Trempealeau, has a walnut ball. They also serve a walnut burger, but the walnut balls are meatless, and they are delicious. They serve them with, you can get salsa or a honey mustard. And they actually, you can buy the walnut burgers, or they do a walnut crumble that you can buy at a lot of the natural food stores around Wisconsin as well. So you can make them at home, too.
Elise, thanks. I've had the walnut burger at the Trempealeau Hotel and here it, you know, bought in the freezer section.
Yeah.
So that there's that nut flour again, ultimately, in the vegetarian meatballs.
And you don't normally think nuts and mustard, but that's a great combination.
Well, Lori, any final
tips?
Advice for getting started with meatballs this weekend?
I made a batch of meatballs last week with nettles from my backyard. So if you can safely pick them, you do need gloves. This is a great way to eat your enemy in the springtime, to get rid of yard weeds. Go out, pick your nettles, throw them in a pot of boiling water for 5 minutes. That will blanch them, get them beautifully green. They'll be safe to handle. Squeeze them, chop them up, add them to your meatball recipe. I was amazed at how good nettles could be in a meatball. So give that a shot this weekend.
Lori, thanks. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
That's Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house chefs, a Food Friday regular. She joined us this Food Friday to talk about meatballs. You can find a recipe for her Aunt Kathy's meatballs. They're linked on the Central Time Facebook page. While you're there, maybe share some of your favorites, link to your favorite recipes.